God, right? Do we really know God? Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, your cell phone. Good morning. It's really good to see you. Oh, it's really loud. Oh. Don't want to hurt your ears. So it's really good to see you. I'm glad you're here. It's been about 2 weeks, I think, since we've last talked about 1 John. And I'm super excited to continue it with you. But like usual, I want to continue with, or just begin with a recap, because, you know, even I needed to recap after 2 weeks. So I'm supposed to be pointing here, right? Is it here? Oh, thank you. Yeah, it wasn't on. It's good. Yeah, it's important to turn it on. Okay, so, So John, you know, the disciple of Jesus, he's the author of this book, and he's writing to a community of churches, okay, churches that he has close connection with, right? So it's like our Home of Christ churches, right? We have, what, 9 of them in California? Is that right? 9? 8? 8? 8, my bad. 9? Okay, all right, so it's 8 or 9 Home of Christ churches. So, you know, we're kind of close. We know we're going to have like all Home of Christ retreat in August, right? We get together and do stuff and learn about God. So there's this group in the church that broke off, okay? They left the church because they believed in heresies. They believed in false doctrines and false teachings. And, you know, when you believe in different things about God, sometimes it's hard to, you know, worship together, right? And let's talk about some of the things that they had, you know, differences in. They believed in different things about God the Father. They believed in different things about Jesus Christ, the Son. They believed different things about themselves, right? About sin. And then the church began to doubt, right? The people who still remained at the church, they began to doubt, like, did John give us, like, everything? You know, did he tell us everything we need to know? Is there something missing? Like, did he, because if there's something missing, maybe we don't have the full picture, and perhaps, like, we don't really have eternal life, okay? Because these other people who left, you know, they're claiming something else. They're claiming they have the truth. So what about us? Do we have the truth? So John, he's an eyewitness, right? He was with Jesus, you know, and he saw Jesus perform miracles, teach, spend time with them. You know, he was there with them. So he's testifying about this word, right? This life that Jesus is, right? This eternal life embodied in the person of Jesus. And that those who have fellowship with Jesus, with God, these are the people who have eternal life. So then it came to my attention like about two weeks ago that although we use the word sin quite frequently, right, we might not have like a correct understanding of that. Or some of us might just need to be reminded, okay? So that's what I'm going to do now. So what is sin, right? What does it look like? So in Greek, it's used in terms of archery. Like it means to miss the mark, right? To sin, it means to miss the mark. Like, you're aiming for something, but you're not hitting it. And that is perfection, okay? That is what God deserves. That's what God wants from us, but we're not able to meet it, okay? So one day when I was in college, I remember I was sitting in my friend's car, and he was playing this song, and it's called All Consuming Fire. It's by this rapper named Shy Lin. He's a Christian rapper. And in this song, in the intro, there's this portion that talks about what sin is, and it's actually an excerpt from a sermon that John Piper gave. Right? So what is sin? So John Piper, he explains it this way. It is the glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, right? The beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the promises of God not relied upon, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin. Right? That's how he describes it. So I want you to see what you can catch as we cover today's message. Right? What does sin look like? So continuing our recap, I just wanted to point you to this chart that we had. So on the left, we have no fellowship of eternal life with God. Okay, that's this danger zone. Okay, this is not where we want to be. So what does it look like? It looks like this. When you're walking, you're living in darkness, in sin. Okay. It doesn't mean like we never sin, but it means that this is our life. We don't care about our sin. Maybe we feel like we aren't sinners. Maybe we have a misunderstanding of what sin is. Maybe our sin, we really think it's not sin, okay? So that's what it looks like. And then the way you live, that's what it's like. You're like, whatever, God forgive me, right? It's okay. And then on this side, we have fellowship of eternal life with God. It's walking in the light, okay? Being responsible about what we do. We're actually considering, okay, is this pleasing God? Is this what God desires? Does this honor God? Is this obeying God? We're actually considering it, and we're actually doing it. And then second, confessing our sins to God. Right? So if you're come to a point where, I can't confess my sins to God anymore, then we know that there's something wrong in the relationship. Because right? It's broken. You feel like you can't open up anymore. Right? No longer confessing our sins. So this is the good part. This is a safe zone. Okay, this is how we know that, we have fellowship with God. We have eternal life. And then, remember, 2 weeks ago, we also talked about the Holy Grail, right? I showed you guys a clip from Indiana Jones. Some of you guys were not so excited about it because, Indiana Jones, I've never seen that before. Okay, but I grew up watching that. So in that movie, if you drink from the Holy Grail, okay, you know you have eternal life. That's how you know, if you drink from it, okay? So then, how do we know, right? And we know it's because this one, right, on the right side. So, Indiana Jones wasn't that interesting, so let me try another one with you. So, how well did you know Hannah Baker? How well did you know Hannah Baker? Okay. Did you really know her? Right. Could you say that you were her friend, or she was your friend? Some of you might not know who I'm talking about. Some of you do know. I'm referencing a TV show called 13 Reasons Why, and I think it started airing about 2 months ago. And it's about a high school girl who committed suicide due to a series of events. I'm not going to try and tell you everything, or I don't want to spoil it for you. If you want to go watch it yourself, you can do that. But I do want to talk about something that this TV show brought up. And one of the things that kept coming to my attention was the fact that we might not really know the people that we think we know. Okay? We might not really know the people we think we know. So Hannah Baker's parents, okay, they struggled over the fact that their own precious, beautiful daughter, did something, to her life, took her own life in their house, right? They didn't know that she was going through a hard time, a difficult time, one that was a lot of heartbreak, a lot of pain, a suffering, loneliness. They didn't know that. And they lived under the same roof. Right? They saw each other every day. And they questioned themselves over and over again. Do we really know our daughter? How come we never knew? She never shared it with us. Or, we should have known, right? She was our own daughter. We should have known. Did we really know her then? Right. And I'm also constantly surprised when I meet my old friends, maybe from high school or college. We've known each other, maybe around 10 years. And whenever I meet them, I always learn something new about them. It might be something the way they spell their name. Maybe I've been spelling their name wrong for the last 10 years. It might be a C instead of a K, or maybe there's two L's instead of one L or something like that. It might be they have two younger brothers or something that I never heard about. It might be that he went through a rough time or she went through a rough time, during college. And there was a lot of problems with their family or stuff like that, but I just never knew about it. And I think if I knew about that, that would have affected a lot of the way that I interacted, that I would have wanted to do something, but I didn't know about it. And it felt like, in that sense, I didn't really know this person. I only knew, a part, only a part. So, like, how well do you know your family and friends? Right? But that's not the question that I want you to consider today. Today, I wanted you to consider, how well do you know God? Okay, how well do you know God? So you could have been in church, right, your whole life. You could have gone on mission trips and went to Sunday school, came to, you know, service and listened to people preach and, you know, helped out, you know, offering, you know, AV and worship. You could have, you know, done so much at church. But, you know, did you really know God? You could have done all these Christian things and had all these interactions with God. Maybe you prayed here and there because, you know, you wanted something or you needed something, you know, like, you know, oh man, I'm going to take a test and I really need your help, God, or I'm applying for this job or this internship and I'm, oh, God, I really hope I can get it, you know, or maybe like your kids are just, you know, being rebellious and you're like, God, like, I don't know, like, why are my kids acting up like this, like, what do I do, right? And then maybe, you know, like Vanessa was saying, like, we pray before we eat, right? That's something that's very common. You know, that's kind of interacting with God. But, you know, do you really know God, though? So why is it important to know if we know God? I would argue that if you don't know God, the one who is light, right, the one who is eternal, then how can you have fellowship with God? If you don't know this God, then how can you have what he has, right? How can you have fellowship with someone you don't know? So that begs the question then, like, how do I know that I know God? So turn with me to 1 John, 1 John 2. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. I'll just give you a minute to look there. So 1 John 2, and we're going to be going through verses 3 to 11. 3 to 11. I'm just gonna read. I'm gonna read 3 to 6 first, and then we're gonna finish the other half later. And by this, so verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know him, right? By keeping his commands. The one who says, "I have come to know him," yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Right. So John answers our question earlier of, how do I know that I know God? In verse 3, he says, by this we have come to know him. In other words, this is how we know God. This is how we know God. So firstly, it's crucial to have the proper understanding of what it means to know something. Right, in this context, it's, well, both words are in Greek are the same, but you know, there's a slight nuance. Okay, so the first one is to know something to be the case. Okay, so this is the case. And the second one, the second know is to know a person. Okay, something personal, a being. In this sense, knowing is not just knowing facts about God. Okay, knowing that, you know, he's present in the world, and you know, knowing that he's, you know, he's there for you, stuff like that. It's not just knowing facts. So, for example, you know, have you ever been a fan of like someone famous? You know, you're part of some kind of fandom or something like that, or some club. Maybe it's an NBA player. You know their stats. You know their history. You know their upbringing. You know how the player plays. You know all the trophies and awards and all that. Or maybe you may be a fan of an actor or a singer or maybe a musician and some artist. Maybe some politician, whoever, but you never met him or her in real life. Okay, you've never had any conversations. You never had shared any stories. You never went through anything difficult together, right? You never overcame any hard times together. All you know about this person is what you hear in the news. What you see in the newspaper, in a magazine, what you watch in movies, or listen to in like radio talks or something like that. So I don't think you could really say that you know this person, right, in a personal way. It might be just because we're one of millions and millions of fans out there, right? Like, this person doesn't know who you are, you know, like, maybe they might not care to know who you are, right? Maybe we're just not going to be noticed, right? But I want to tell you that it is possible to know God personally, okay? It is possible to know God personally. God is not a faraway being, okay, who created this world and then just disappeared and just he just hid himself and just let the world be, right? No. If we look at the verses we covered so far, we see that God, he desires fellowship with us. Jesus, the Son of God, he cleanses us from all sin, right? His blood. God draws us to him, right? He wants us to have this personal relationship with him. And the ways in which we come to know God more and more is through the Bible, the revelation of God. This is how he reveals himself to us, through here. Okay. So in this particular letter, in this instance, we know that we know God if we what? If we keep his commandments, right? Verse 3, this is how we are sure that we have come to know him, by keeping his commandments. So when we hear this, we might want to immediately take action, right? Like, okay, well, you know, like I just gotta do something, right? These are commandments, I gotta do them. But I want you to, you know, just take a step back. Let's first think about it. So what does it mean to keep? What does it mean to keep? Right, so we're talking about keeping commandments. What does it mean to keep? It's okay. I'll just keep going. Okay. All right. So to keep something means to observe. Okay. To fulfill. Okay. Yeah. Maybe. Oh. Okay, yeah. Oh, no, not that one. Okay, so okay, it means to observe, to fulfill, okay? So, and then there's also two more that I want you to pay attention to. It means to pay attention to, okay? To keep something is to pay attention to, okay? To persist in obedience. Notice that John, he doesn't say that to know God, we have to be perfect or we have to be sinless. He says, we know God if we keep his commandments. But there are so many commandments in the Bible, right? Like, it can be kind of scary. Like, there might be, like, I think about that sometimes. Like, you know, is there something that I don't know, that I can't remember or something like that? Like, what if I haven't been keeping it? Am I in trouble? Something like that. But, you know, let's not be alarmed. Let's not panic. So the first question, this question will be answered later, okay? So the first thing is this. I want you to look at this, okay? So first of all, when we you know, think about keeping commandments, we will wonder, okay, what are these commandments, right? The second one is, okay, well, do I actually keep these commandments? So we're going to come to this first one later about what this commandment is. But we're going to talk about the second part because that's what John goes to. Okay, so do I actually keep these commandments? Okay, so in verse 4, it says this, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. If you don't keep God's commandments, you're actually a liar, and the truth is not in you if you say that you know God, right? So one time I remember I had this friend, okay, who came to me because we had a mutual friend who was going to have his birthday soon. So this friend, he came to me, and he was like, oh, you know, do you know what, like, our friend likes, what he needs, you know, what would he like for his birthday present? And he came expecting that I would know, right? And I said, yeah, you know, sure, like, I know. But, you know, so I gave my advice to him, but it didn't turn out too well. Because when our mutual friend got the birthday present, he was kind of, you know, surprised. And he was trying to be nice, you know, just like, oh, thank you, you know, thanks for the birthday present. And then it really showed that I didn't know my friend too well. And it left me in this awkward position, right? Because my other friend's like, I thought you said you knew what he liked, but I didn't, right? So knowing something as simple as knowing what someone likes or dislikes, that's something so basic, right? It's something so basic in a relationship. So for the one who says that they know God but fails in something so basic as keeping his commandments, John calls that person a liar. And then it's not surprising that the truth is not in him, right? Because if you're a liar, the truth isn't there, right? The truth is absent in a liar. But on the flip side, look at verse 5. Okay? Look at verse 5. It says, but whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. Right? But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. So on the flip side, instead of being a liar, if you keep God's word, instead of being a liar, the love of God is perfected. In other words, the strong affection that you have towards other believers, the affection that you have towards God is occurring, okay? So the strong affection that we have as believers towards God is happening, okay? It's being completed as we keep God's commands, right? So it's being perfected. And then look at the next verse. So we're at the second half of verse 5 into the verse 6. It says this. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Okay. So here it begins again with, you know, this is how you know. Now this is how you know. Okay, so we need to pay attention, right? So this is how you know you can be assured of something, that you can know that you know. Okay? To be in him, to be in God, means to be in this close personal relationship with God. That we are in God, and God is in us. Right? So other versions of the Bible might say abide. Okay, to abide is just another way to say the same thing. But it helps us to understand it a bit more. To abide means to remain, to stay. Okay, to stay where you are. So in this context, it means to stay in this close relationship with God, this personal, spiritual relationship. Okay. So think about it this way. So maybe you have a group of friends, okay, and, you know, someone comes along and, like, you know, and starts messing with you, right? Maybe he starts, like, saying some things and doing some things, like pushing you around, and then, you know, someone from your group comes out and is like, hey, whoa, like, hold up, you know? Like, you mess with him, you know, you mess with all of us, right? Because he's a part of us. You know, we're together. We're one. You mess with him, you mess with me, right? And in the other sense, maybe someone's really nice to you, right? They're really kind. They, you know, they help you out a lot. And then, you know, a member from that, you know, that party might come out and say, you know, hey, you know, thanks for doing that, you know? Like, I really appreciate it. You know, like, what you do for him, you know, you do for me, man. Like, let me know if there's anything I can do for you, right? So there's this closeness. So, you know, technically, you know, we're all individual people, but when they hold this close tie, this relationship, it's like it bonds you into one entity. Right? And then it says this. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Should walk just as he walked. So it means to behave, to live in the same way. Okay. So John here, he's referring to the person of Jesus. So Jesus, you know, he's God in the flesh, right? He dwelt among us. Right. He had a father, he had a mother, you know, he had brothers and sisters, you know, he went to school, he had a job, you know, he made friends. But what John wants to focus in on is this, is that Jesus kept God's commandments. Right? Jesus walked in the light. Right? Jesus knew God. Jesus abided in God. Jesus followed all the commands to a T. So before we move on to the next segment, you know, starting with verse 7, I just want to do like a quick recap because I read this, you know, and I just thought that this was so good. This is like a really great summary. So I'm not taking any credit for this. Okay, so this here is a summary. I forgot to go there. Okay, so this is it. Right. Those who claim to know God while not obeying his commands are liars. Right. Those who claim to know God while not obeying his commands are liars. So those who keep God's commands may have assurance that they are people who know God. Right? Those who claim to know God while not obeying his commands are liars. And those who say they live in God must walk as Jesus walked. That is, keeping God's commands to them as Jesus obeyed God's commands. Okay? So have assurance of your eternal life if you're walking as Jesus walked. Right? If you're obeying God's commands. So I'm just going to go back one. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the next segment. Look at verses 7 to 11 with me. 7 to 11. I'm going to read it. So, dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So John begins by addressing his audience again as dear friends, as beloved. Right, so he loves and genuinely cares for these people. And he wants them to know the truth. He wants them to be assured. And he says that he's not giving them a new commandment. Right? Earlier we talked about keeping God's commands, right? He's not giving them a new commandment, but he's reminding them of a commandment that they heard from the beginning. Right? So this is, this is the command that John is referring to. So in general, we might be able to say, okay, there's a lot of commands, right? There's a lot of commands in the Bible. But this is the one that he's focusing on. Okay, and this old command is the word, or the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. And part of this good news, it carries an obligation that we should do as Jesus commanded. Okay, so more specifically, John is most likely referring to something that he wrote in the Gospel of John, right? Another book that he wrote. And it is this, okay? In John 13:34, it says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Right? So to love someone is to be selfless, right? To be sacrificial, right? Putting the interests of others ahead of yours, right? To lay down your life for someone. Right? That is this love that he's talking about. So it is a new commandment in the sense that Jesus gave it back then. Right? Jesus is the one that who instated this new commandment. But it's an old commandment in the sense that these people who are hearing this, or who heard it after Jesus, many, many years later, right? This could be 10, 20 years later, it's kind of like an old commandment now, right? It's not new in that sense. So it's new when Jesus gave it, but now for them it's kind of old, okay? So it's still the same thing, That might be kind of confusing, but it's the same thing. So let's continue with verse 8. It says, "Yet I'm writing you a new commandment, which is true in you and in him, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Right? So I'm writing to you this new commandment, which is true in you, okay, and in him. So it's true in you and in him. So John has confidence that his audience has already accepted this old/new covenant. Commandment. And it is being truly expressed in these believers, that they really have accepted this commandment and they're trying to do it. Right? And he says this because he says that the realm that is dominated by sin, right, this darkness in the world is coming to an end. Right? And Jesus, the light of the world, as we talked about earlier, right, God is light. In the Gospel of John, John says that Jesus, he's the light of the world. So Jesus is already shining, right? He is already shining in this world. And where light shines, darkness fades away. Okay. Where light shines, darkness fades away. So then look at verses 9, 10, 11. Each of these verses, they make a claim. Okay. And it makes a claim to have this personal relationship with God, to know God. Okay. So I want you to try and figure out as we read it, which one is actually the one that you would want. Okay, which is good. So let's look at verse 9. It says, "The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now." Okay. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness to now. Or in other words, it says, in another version, ESV says, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness." So, in other words, can you say that you really know God, but then also hate your brother? Right? Can you say you know God but hate your brother? Right? Hate is this really strong word, especially when used towards a person. Right? It's the feeling of wanting something bad for someone, right? If something bad happened to that person, maybe you would actually be happy. Maybe if someone needed help, like medical help or something, like maybe you wouldn't even want to help them, right? If they ask for help, you're like, no, forget you, right? So you really don't want to have anything to do with the person you hate. So this is what it's like. You know, how can you say that, you know, you want nothing to do with this brother, but then say you love God, right? There's this, you know, there's this contradiction. And then look at verse 10. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. So basically, if you're claiming, you know, to love your brother, and you abide in the light, then that's true. That's true. You do know God. If you love your brother, you are in the light, right? God is light. You're abiding in God. If you're abiding in God, then yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it shows that, you know, through loving your brother. So when it says stumbling, you know, it's talking about this falling into sin. The sin is unspecified in this case, but we might be able to kind of make some guesses talking about what we've seen so far about rejecting Jesus Christ, right? His work on the cross, you know, that Jesus can cleanse you of your sins, right? Maybe it's talking about hate towards other Christians, right? Falling into sin. So if you're abiding in God, if you love your brother, then you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be falling into the sin of hating your brother. Right? And in verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So whoever hates their brother doesn't know God. So 11 is kind of like 9 in a sense, right? It's kind of like 9. If you hate your brother, you're not abiding in the light. You're not abiding in God. You don't have fellowship with God, and you're walking in darkness. You're walking in this sin. Right, and you don't know where you're going. So when you don't know where you're going, people usually say, what? You're lost. Right? You're lost. You are apart from God. Your fellowship is broken. So most likely the people who left the church, right, that John is writing to, the people that left, they probably hated John. Okay? They probably hated the believers that sided with John. Right? The people who stayed. You know, they wanted like the worst for them. You know, they wanted nothing to do with them. You know, that's why they left, right? Because if you wanted to keep that friendship, that bond, then you would stay, you would work things out. But, you know, they just left, right? You know, and in this sense, specifically, they had differences in theology, okay? And what they believed about God, and what they, you know, believed about sin, what they believed about Jesus. But this could also be the same for us. Like, there are so many theological topics that could cause division in a church. So one thing that, all right, before I say that, you know, like, what do you do when you have disagreements with people in the church, with your fellow brothers and sisters, when you don't see eye to eye, when you have a different perspective, right, when you have a different agenda? So I know last year it was really tough. It was really tough, especially I saw it on social media. I saw it in churches. It was, you know, about presidential election. Right? Like, are you going to vote for Hillary? Are you going to vote for Trump? Are you going to vote for, like, another party, like Libertarian or something like that? You know, people got really divided. You're like, you know, like, how could you call yourself a Christian if you vote for this person or for that person, right? Like, I don't really want to hang out with you anymore. Like, can we be friends? Like, people were actually really serious. You know, another thing might be pro-choice versus pro-life. Right? People also, you know, get to really heated debates about that. People have strong beliefs, strong convictions, and it could cause a lot of tension. You know, it could be, you know, how to make some decision in the elder deacon board meeting, right? It could be, you know, who we're going to elect for the next elder or for the next deacon or for the next pastor. It could be how to spend some of the budget. It could be anything, right? So many things could cause division in our church, and then to have hate being stirred up among us. But what Jesus commands is this, is to love, right? Is to love one another, right? To be self-sacrificial, right? To be laying down yourself, right? So where are you? Are you in the darkness or are you in the light? Do you put effort into keeping God's commandments and more specifically to love one another? So imagine that you're driving, okay? You're driving and, you know, you see a speed sign. It says 35. So, you know, You try to be on 35, right? So, you know, when we're on that 35, it's like we're keeping God's commandments. Okay, we're on 35. And sometimes, you know, we'll go over it. We'll maybe go to like 30, 33 or 34 or you know, 40, something like that. And sometimes we'll go under it, right? Like maybe when we're climbing a hill or something like that, we maybe we'll go below like 20, maybe like 29 or something like that. But the idea is that we're paying attention to the speed limits, okay? We're paying attention to the signs. We're trying to stay on that 35, but we're not going to hit it all the time, right? But the important thing is that we don't give up, right? It's that we don't stop trying. Because if you've given up, then that's a bad sign. Maybe you've given up because it's too difficult, right? To keep God's commandments, it's just too difficult. It's not what you want to do, right? Like when someone wrongs you, right? They're like, no, I don't want to turn the other cheek. Like, I don't want to love him. I don't want to pray for him. You know, like he should go and repent, right? He should be asking me for, you know, like asking me to forgive him or something like that, right? But you know, like, what are we supposed to do in those circumstances, right? Are we obeying God's commandments? Maybe it's you just don't care anymore, right? You're just like, oh, sin is whatever. Maybe it's not even sin, you know. God, whatever, who cares? I don't care. Then I would say that you're in the danger zone, right? Remember the chart. Safe zone, danger zone, right? So to walk in the light doesn't mean that you won't ever sin or you won't ever break God's commands, that you won't ever hate your brother or your sister, right? The person right next to you. But it's what you do when that happens, right? So remember last time we talked about confessing our sins to God, and we know that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So if you're in a good place, continue. I want to encourage you to carry on, persevere, press on, right? Continue to obey God's commandments, right? It should be a sign of encouragement, of assurance when you read this. You're like, yes, God, I am in fellowship with you. I have eternal life. God, I love you. I love my brothers and sisters, right? You're in a good place. And that's wonderful. But I have a few things going forward. So some applications now. You have to be reading the Bible for yourself, right? You have to be reading the Bible for yourself, to be reading daily. This is the primary way that God has revealed himself to us. If you want to know God, if you want to get closer to God, if you want to be able to say that, yes, you know, I know what you want, God. You know his plan, you know his character, you know his likes, his dislikes, what brings him joy, right? All those things. If you want to know the good news, the gospel of Jesus, you have to read the Bible. So for the youth, you know that on Saturday, I've been teaching them how to read the Bible properly. And this is one of the reasons why. I want you to be able to know God for yourself, personally, okay? Personally. This is why I'm teaching you guys. And hopefully, as I'm preaching on Sundays, I also want to show you guys how to read the Bible so that you can read it for yourself. You don't have to rely on me. You don't have to rely on other people. You can read and experience God for yourself. Okay? So that's why we go through observation, right? Interpretation, application, right? Okay. So the second one is this. Listen and obey. Right? When you hear what we got to do, you go and do it. You act. Right? A lot of times we listen and like, oh, I should do this. And you're like, that's a good idea when I got time, you know, next time. But no, hear and obey. So actually do these applications. Do them. You know, sometimes people may say that, you know, I don't feel close to God. You know, I can't see God. I can't feel God. You know, I can't hear God. You know, is God there? My question would be, you know, is it because you haven't been actually working on this relationship with God? Have you been actually even doing your part? In this context of today's message, it's to love the fellow Christians in this church. Right? That's what we got to do. But maybe you don't feel like loving some people. Maybe it's awkward. Or maybe you never talked to them. You've never interacted with them. Maybe they're just not the type of people that you want to hang out with. You know, maybe they're not fun to be around or something like that. But I want to encourage you, right, to love them, to show that you care, right? And not just like superficial. Okay. And when you have a hard time doing this, seek God for help. Tell him how you feel. Tell him about your fears, right? Your insecurities. Tell him about, you know, the anger, the hatred, your worries that you have, right? The resentment that you have maybe towards someone. Ask God to help you, right? And then after you do that, reflect on the love of God. Reflect on the love of God that he has shown us through Jesus Christ. God is the one who loved us first. God is the one who sent Jesus Christ to this world, right, so that we can know God. And Jesus died for our sins. Right? He paid the penalty. That's love. And through Jesus, we can have a restored relationship with God. This relationship that was once ruined, that was once damaged and destroyed by sin, we can have it be restored, right, through Jesus Christ. So keep God's commandments, and when you do, remember the outcome, okay? Remember the outcome. Because I'm certain that when you keep God's commands, you will experience the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God. Right? You will experience his presence, his faithfulness, his peace. Okay? And remember that. Do it, experience it, remember it. And as you begin to share these experiences with God, and you're like, yes, God, you're real. Yeah, you're real. Like what you said in the Bible, it's true. When I do it, it's true. And when you do that, you know, you're able to come to this place where you know God. Okay? So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are amazing. Lord, you are a loving God, and you desire this relationship with us. When we are so far away, when we didn't care about you, when we didn't want to even know you, God, you loved us first. Lord, as we come to know you, as we desire to know you, through keeping your commands, right, through loving one another, Lord, would you just help us to experience, experience the joy, the love, the peace, Lord, to experience you, right? As we have this relationship with you, that we want to grow in it. Right? We know that you are a personal God. You are not far off and aloof. Right? You desire to be with us. Lord, and as we go throughout our week and as we live our lives, Lord, would we have assurance that if we, you know, are doing these things, if we're in the right place, you know, then to have assurance, to not doubt that we have fellowship with you, that we have eternal life. God, and this is a good thing. Lord, thank you, Lord, for telling us this. Thank you for sharing this to us through John. All right. And we thank you, we love you, Lord, and pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.